This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reiberger, and today is one of the shows that I do the end of every month. It's the Conversations with Carol show, and what that means is that there's really not any topic that I'm going to be covering and sharing a lot of my medical intuitive abilities. I am going to be sharing my intuitive abilities, though, as well as medical, if that's what's needed today. But Conversations with Carol show is just really about me, you answering questions, me sharing my intuitive abilities, and us just chatting and having a great time today. So being a Conversations with Carol show, that means that most of the day is going to be, the hour is going to be taken with answering questions. So if you do have a question for me about your health or about a topic, or you want to talk about this crazy energy that we're experiencing right now, then I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. and Canada and also international callers as well. So all you have to do is dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. I'd also like to let you know that if you or a loved one or a coworker suffers from tinnitus, what that is that's that persistent and sometimes intermediate, but intermittent, but sometimes it's more persistent, as tinnitus is characterized by the ringing, roaring, buzzing, humming, chirping, whistling, and hissing sound that you get in the ears. And sometimes it'll come, it'll go. Sometimes it's louder, sometimes it's not. It may find, you may find if you're suffering from it, it'll be more pronounced at night when you go to bed because you don't have a lot of the external white noise and so forth. But I actually did a teleclass on tinnitus, and I'm actually offering both the audio download and the PDF download, a printable PDF on tinnitus, available on my website, www.ritberger.com. Tinnitus actually affects over 50 million people in the United States, primarily adults. And the truth of the matter is the more I'm learning about it from my the people I'm doing readings on that have tinnitus, is that it started out maybe as an annoyance, but in reality it's becoming really kind of a disturbance to their hearing. Now, one of the things I do want to share right then and there is that the fact that there is that you may be experiencing tinnitus, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to have hearing loss or that hearing loss is going to create tinnitus, because a lot of the things that we've found in the research is tinnitus is actually a symptom of maybe medication. It could be a symptom of hormone changes. It can be symptoms of course, any kind of ear infection, sinusitis, and so forth. Could be also a symptom of candida. So a lot of information that we're finding, a lot of times tinnitus is accompanied with some type of hearing loss, whether it's mild to severe, and that's where there's actually been damage to the ear itself. Another thing is we know that it's TMJ, also has a symptomology of tinnitus, high blood pressure, diabetes, and then also Meniere's disease. So again, if you want to know more about tinnitus, I have a Try Before You Buy on my website, www.ritberger.com. And all you do is just put the cursor on the tab at the top that says teleclass, and you'll see that they'll be a down a menu down, and then what you do is just click on that. And I've actually got 27 different illnesses that, as a medical intuitive, I offer a holistic perspective. And what does that mean? That means that I look at the illness both from the clinical standpoint, also the causes, some of the symptoms that are associated with it, the psychological aspect of it, the energetic aspect of it, because we are energy beings first and physical beings second, and how it maps in the chakra system, role of personality, conventional therapies, and then a long list of alternative therapies that can help you with tinnitus and being able to be able to manage it or cause it to eliminate from your everyday activities and your hearing and so forth. So again, lots of information. Please go to my website, Ritberger, RITBERGER.com. Well, as I started out the show by saying crazy, crazy energy, and it is, and I want to start, because I always do my conversations with Carol's show, I always start by talking about the energy, because as I just mentioned, we're energy first and matter second. And there's a lot of things that happen at an energetic level that our conscious mind just can't connect the dots with. So what happens is the brain thinks that there's something wrong with the body, and as a result responds and reacts according to something being wrong with the body, when a lot of times the element could be energetic, and what we could do is we could actually go in and make some changes at an energetic level. And what that can do is it can change the dynamics of the workings of the physical body. So the energy of the summer of 2012 is going to be very, very active. And unlike the energy when we entered 2012 that really was focused on the emotional aspect of who we were and who we are, and when I say were, meaning all the emotional hurts and traumas that we've had, all the wounds that we've experienced, all the parts of our interaction with other people that have hurt our feelings that may cause us to feel like we're inadequate. So a lot of the work that we've been doing in the evolution of our consciousness is we've been doing a lot of cleaning closets around the emotional part, the core themes, the negative attitudes, the negative emotions, and looking for ways to be able to boost our spirits and to create positive attitudes in our life and be able to create positive emotions. And that requires, first of all, that we let go of a lot of the negativity that we've been conditioned with, because the brain, while it's a magnificent organ, a social organ, what it does is it actually can't hold as much as we would like it to. So as a result, it's constantly repatterning itself and taking a lot of the information and putting it back in those deep, deep, dark archives. Let me get in my left brain here in the archives, and then it makes it a little bit more difficult for us to bring up those emotional situations and those feelings. So experiences tend to trigger them. And as we found starting at the end of 2009, working into 2010, 2011, and now into 2012, we entered into the dynamics of this year, really looking at the emotional aspect and using our emotions as a barometer to be able to tell us where we were. And that's the gift of emotions, because they really tell us whether we're in alignment with ourselves or are we compromising ourselves. Compromise in my world is a medical intuitive, always shows up as congestion or blockages or protrusions or even depletions in the energy field that can impact the functioning of the physical body. So we've had all of this going on, but we ended up, we had a energy shift and attunement that took place starting May 21st with the annular eclipse, and then culminating on June 6th with the passage of Venus and its transit in front of the sun, crossing in front of the sun. Venus is love. The sun is masculine warrior. Venus is feminine love. Masculine warrior is the sun. And what it did is it created a brand new energy that we're dealing with that's asking us to raise our vibration to a new level of vibration, new level of consciousness. And what that's doing since June 11th is it's really putting a lot of strain on our mental acuity and our cognitive abilities, and then also on the workings of the physical body, but not so much where I think of the workings as a medical intuitive with a malfunction of the organs or glands. But this shift that we're in right now in the energetic and this quickness that we're in right now and the impact is really impacting us at a cellular level. So that's the woo-woo part. Let's ground it. What does that mean? What that means is that you are going to find over the course of the summer and continuing on into the fall, you're going to find that there's going to be a heightened awareness. This is going to make you more sensitive to what's going on, to what's happening externally. You may notice things that you didn't notice before, such as the other day when I was driving up to my place up in the mountains, because I just frankly needed to kind of get out of my head. I was driving up there, and you know, you look at the sky all the time, you look at the clouds all the time, but I looked at them and I thought, oh my gosh, there's something different about them. Either it's the formation of them. I had to really think about it. Is it the formation of them? Is it the blue of the sky? Was there a little bit of haze? Was it the contrast with the green? What was it? And what I started really doing in this heightened awareness is I started noticing contrails that honestly I just kind of take for granted. But I noticed that what they did is they crossed each other in order to make these crosses in the sky. I also noticed that some of them had basically dissipated, and then other ones looked like a plane had been going in one direction and all of a sudden made a sharp turn going another direction. And what that did is it really brought to the awareness of what I've been sharing in my work with all the shifts that are going on, is that there's going to be this heightened awareness, color, sounds, people's behavior, things that you may see normally, things that you don't, they're just going to look differently. And again, this heightened awareness can also impact your sensitivity. So you may find that what you're going to do is you're going to be much more sensitive to not being able to necessarily find your keys. Now, that's episodic memory loss. We can say that it is that the brain is just overwhelmed with all the minutia, and it's sorting itself through and reprogramming, and maybe what we were looking for is just kind of temporarily been put in a holding pattern, so we can look at it that way. But the reality of it is, with the shift that's happening at a mental level, is you may find yourself being more forgetful. What you're going to do in that forgetfulness is you're going to make this kind of pact with yourself that what you're going to do is, oh my gosh, this isn't good, so I'm going to be much more aware of what's going on. When I am looking for something, I'm going to be really singularly focused on looking for that, instead of looking at thinking about so many different things when I'm doing it. So we may find that we're having some confusion. We may find the heightened awareness. We may find that we're losing things. And we may find that the activities of the brain are going to be more difficult for us to shut down. All of those things equate to burning more energy. And one of the things that requires the burning of more energy that's really responsible for it is the mitochondria of the cell. It's really the energy burning part of the cells itself. Many of the ancient writings, as far as the metaphysics of the physical body, have alluded to the fact that the mitochondria is the soul. And what the soul is the soul is really working fast and furious for us to bring our authentic self forward in a way that we can literally be able to find our expression, be able to live that expression and experience the positive emotions and the joy that comes from living our life expression. One of the things with the cellular activity is you may find yourself fatigued. Your sleep may not be as in the quality that it is. You may sleep in fits and starts, as I call it. The thing to remember is the body needs 7 hours of sleep. Whether you get it all at one time or you wake up, and even if you have difficulty going back to sleep, your body right now especially needs 7 hours of sleep. So if you can't get it at night, what that means is that it would be valuable for us to be able to take those little cat naps, but we do need to help the body in all of this energetic activity to be able to keep the cells healthy, to be able to go into that relaxation state that we do with sleep, allow the body to detoxify, because the activity of the cells with where we are right now is going to create more cellular waste byproduct. And what we're going to do is, like, those little cells are just going to be red hot on fire, and we just need to take care of the body. Second thing is, be very mindful of the food that you eat. And one of the things that I am going to share is, please do monitor the amount of sugar. Your body will need more energy. You may crave simple carbohydrates and more sugar, but please be mindful that what that does is it does speed up the metabolism, but it doesn't sustain the metabolism the way that the cells need with all of this energy. So those are some of the things that you might experience. I'm always a little hesitant when I share it, because I certainly don't want to program anybody to experiencing those things. But if you find that you are, you find that you all of a sudden start experiencing these things, then what you might do is look at it energetically and be able to change the energy that can change the physical body. How do you do that? You do it by not necessarily meditating. That's not a bad practice by any means, but right now with all the mental activity going on, that chatter is going to make it difficult potentially for you to meditate maybe the way that you used to. So what I suggest is work with it as if you were working with a small child that seems to have a mind of his own. And what occurs is they get a little bit stubborn, they get a little bit cantankerous, a little bit focused to the point where it's hard to distract them, but distract them. And that's what you do. Get up, do something different. The other thing is crystals, stones, very, very important in the healing, stabilizing the energy field, sound. Maybe you will want to create a chant mantra that you have in your own voice that you can listen to. You might want to listen to sound to be able to calm you. That isn't necessarily hard rock that I'm referring to, and it's not necessarily classical music. You have your own type of music that you like. So think of what's going on as really being vibrational in nature and the things that you can do to be able to support the body in this vibrational time, in this shift, in this adjustment that it's going through. So those are some of the things that you can do. Remember that food is vibration, so what you put in your mouth vibrationally affects you as well. So that's kind of a sneak preview of what's going on from an energetic standpoint. If I get anything else that seems important to basically share, then what I'm going to do is I'll do that throughout the show. But right now I want to jump right in. And hi, Pamela. How are you, sweetie? You're from Texas, huh?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly am. Carol, I want to tell you, you are such a blessing to this world.
Well, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Every bit of me smiling. Thank you, sweetie.
You're most, most welcome. I have recently fallen and fractured my distal ulna, and I was wondering what you thought, if it was healing correctly. I did go to a surgeon. He wanted to do surgery, and I'm like one of these, well, no, let me just step on it, and I'll make it go back the other way.
I can relate to that, honey.
No, and so, and of course, you know, life is busy, so I thought, no, but it's only fourth week now, and I mean, I feel all right, but of course, I'm impatient, but I was just wondering what you felt about it, how it felt to you.
Okay, so do you have, are you stabilizing it, meaning are you,
yes.
Okay,
yes,
very
I,
good.
Right,
that's. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yes, I have to. It's like I can't hold this up on its own. It just goes, ah, you know.
Yeah.
I have it in a little splint, and I adjust the pressure as I go through the day.
Okay.
I must be using a ladle that I push in there to push my wrist back the other direction.
Right, right.
And hold the fingers out and this and that. But anyway, I mean, it feels pretty good. My hand's still swollen, and I can't use my fingers at all because then it just sets me back. But
exactly.
I'm just wondering if it seems like it's in place. You know, what's your intake on it?
Okay. The reason that I ask about the stabilizing of it is that's going to be very, very important to the point where it can heal the way that you desire it to do. It's still in the healing stages. From the standpoint, it didn't, you said it was 4 weeks. It feels to me like it's just been a couple of weeks as far as how it's healing and everything. As far as the surgery, I do want to say I understand with what the doctor was trying to do from the standpoint of trying to stabilize it to a point where there wouldn't be any movement. And again, I'm going to validate, and I'm not anti-doctor, but I'm going to validate your choice, is because the choice of the surgery that was going to take place, my sense is, sweetie, would have really immobilized it in the long run, and that would have created a lot of frustration on your part to be able to deal with it. So I understand what the doctor was trying to do, to be able to keep it into a place where it doesn't move. And the reason that for that is that the inflammation that you're feeling is exactly what your body's doing. It's holding it there. But the inflammation also feels like what it's doing is it's impacting some of the nerves. And some of the nerves themselves are irritated and inflamed. So I have to ask a couple questions. So a couple of things is, are you taking any kind of ibuprofen or any kind of anti-inflammatory?
I just take an aspirin when I need it.
Okay. If I may just suggest that while you're in this healing process, and again, you want to be very sensitive to the stomach, take it with something that you eat, you might want to consider taking the aspirin on a consecutive basis, maybe 3 days, maybe a little bit more. And the reason that I'm saying that is that when you're taking it when you need it, that means that the inflammation, the discomfort, and the pain is at a place where you're trying to eliminate that. But what I would like to see is I would like to see that inflammation actually start to leave the body, so then the body itself can, the arm itself can really start to heal the way that it needs to. Other things that you could do is you could wrap it with some ice. What that does is it good. What that does is it releases a natural endorphin that's part of the healing process, very similar to ibuprofen. But the thing that feels to me, sweetie, with it being still kind of fresh, meaning 2 weeks, means that the inflammation, the swelling that you have with where you are in the course of things, somehow we need to get that inflammation under some kind of control, and that's why I'm suggesting what I'm doing.
Okay.
The other thing that you could do is, are you doing any kind of castor oil packs at all with it?
No, I haven't thought of that.
Okay. It would, that may be something you want to consider. Edgar Cayce was a firm believer. It's a wonderful way to draw the toxins and that waste byproduct that's basically created from the inflammatory reaction through the pores of skin. That could help as well. One of the things is that I understand moving the fingers is really important, but for some reason for me, the little finger feels like it's got a little bit of tingling in it. Is that true?
Well, funny you should say that. My wrist, when I fell on it, it's bent as if the little finger is going downward, not lateral, not medial into the body, but just down.
Right.
And that's where I have it, you know, propped up.
Okay, good.
The two certainly during the day, different things just go numb.
Exactly.
But mostly it's my thumb and my forefinger that it's like, whoa, it's just, but, you know, I would like this plane to go down, too, so that I can touch it, and I feel like I can move it back wherever it needs to go.
Absolutely. Well, actually, it's falling back into place very, very nicely, sweetie. So it really isn't out of place the way it was when you first jarred it, and that's the way I want to say it. So it is moving back the way that it needs to. And I'm glad to hear about you immobilizing the little finger, because that's the part that feels like it's causing the dynamics between the little finger and the wrist is the dynamics that feels to me that it's creating the inflammation. And so if you can immobilize both of those and be able to keep it in a stable position, that would be very helpful. The other thing is, are you getting massage at all on your neck, honey?
No, and I'm a massage therapist.
Sorry. I know I'm a medical intuitive, and I can see my own field, and, honey, I can't even read what the heck's going on with me. So, okay, so let's go there.
Oh, you know, I wish, you know.
Well, one of the things that would help is that when you did fall, you jarred, of course, the shoulder, and then you also jarred the spine to a way that it's actually got the muscles in the spine are locked down. They're trying to protect the nerves themselves at the spine itself. So if you could get a massage, and you could massage, get it on the shoulder area, also into the bicep, into the muscles in the front, in the chest, up around the neck area, in the front and everything, that would do a world of good to be able to take some of the compression that's happening with the inflammation on the nerves itself, but it would also relax the muscles off of the spine, and it would allow you to feel like you have some sense of movement. And as you know, with massage, then it's a wonderful way to detox the body as well. So that might be something that you will want to look at doing.
Absolutely, because, you know, I can feel it even through your voice. I'm going, oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, you know, I just keep coming in, and I keep, you know, your body is saying to me, tell her to work on the left shoulder, is it, you know, and kind of going out there, and oh my gosh, if we could just rub across the neck, chest area, oh, that feels so good. I mean, it is literally like it's purring to me when it's telling me what to do. So all of those things will help, and I think that's going to help with the inflammation and the healing process itself. One of the things that I might encourage you to stop doing, of course, you always have free will, but stop doing, is stop pushing it with a spoon or trying to change it. It feels like the natural part, the way it's setting, is doing what it needs to do, sweetie. And it may very well be while, you know, and I can appreciate this, while we're trying to fix something to make it better, that we can keep aggravating it. I'm certainly learning that one myself. And what it does is it keeps the brain focused on that part of the body. So just some thoughts there. How's that for that, sweetie?
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, you are so welcome. Thanks for calling me. I really appreciate it.
Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for your kind words, my love. All right. What I want to do is please, my other callers, stay on the line. I am going to be taking more calls. I want to jump off right now and take a quick commercial break. I'm going to be right back, and I'm going to be answering your questions more and talking about this crazy energy.
Is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, this is a Conversations with Carol show, and what that means is I'm taking calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about this crazy energy that I've been talking about or career, or anything that might be of interest to you, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That's good for U.S., Canadian, and international callers. One of the things I wanted to just kind of open up the show a little bit more about this crazy energy and this dynamics between the mind and the body and what's going on. And I was talking about the fact that you may be having a hypersensitivity in your awareness to what's going on externally, but I also want to say internally. And what's going to happen is if anything kind of tweaks or hiccups, or maybe you get this little strange little pain or something, your brain is going to really fixate on that to the point where it can actually create some pain and discomfort in the physical body, which really doesn't mean anything. It's just your brain doing what it's designed to do. But part of the thing with all of this energy that's going on is we carry so much in our head that literally is information that we've acquired, experiences that we've had, that somehow we've emotionally deemed that this is really important. I need to stay on top of this. I need to remember this the rest of my life so I don't repeat what I did to cause this situation. And what it is that with the energy right now, what the brain is doing is it's saying, oh my gosh, I'm overloaded with too much stuff. I'm so busy focusing on what really isn't important rather than focusing on what's in the present moment and important that is important, and that may be part of the memory loss as well. And one of the other things that has become very clear in the work that I've been doing on my readings, and I did a presentation the other night on this whole energy shift and doing readings like I'm doing on my show. And one of the things in preparation for that event, I kept, as I connect with my guides, I kept hearing them say, tell people to think about their legacy. And it's like, well, that's very interesting. And, you know, the first part of me said, now what is it exactly does that mean? Does that mean that, you know, that we are going to have a shortened life due to all of this? And it's like, oh, come on, Carol, get over yourself. You know, that's not true. But what it is with legacy is destiny, and it's looking at yourself and your life, and what do you want to be remembered for? And remembered for is today, it's tomorrow, it's the next day, it's the rest of your life. But what do you want today to be that whoever you touch their lives, how do you want them to remember you? And most importantly, how do you want to remember yourself and your activities of the day before you go to bed at night? So this is really a time to go back to the core values of who you are. Perhaps you want to be known as a kind and gentle person. And in that particular case, every day, do you share that kindness and that gentleness with the others? And what kind of feedback do you get? I was very blessed with Pamela, you know, sharing you know, her love about the work that I do. And, you know, very human. There's times I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing? Things like that are the feedback that we're looking for. And then also look at yourself. And, you know, if you're a kind and gentle person with other people, are you a kind and gentle person with yourself? So when you look at your legacy, meaning tied to your soul's work and your purpose and your destiny, which is your soul's work and purpose, it's a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year situation. And every day, live your core values and live for yourself what you would share to others. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Don't speak poorly to others. Don't speak poorly to yourself. So again, this is about legacy. It's about destiny. It's about living every day, every moment, authentically with who you are. When you compromise who you are and you compromise your core values, then what will occur is that that will create an energy blockage or congestion or protrusion or depletion in your energy field. And a continuance of that can then also cause the physical body to just not function the way that it's designed. It's an exquisite healing machine that's designed to keep on healing every moment of every day. So again, in this mental part, when you're feeling like you're confused, maybe that confusion is saying to you, stop, look around. What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you thinking? And is it where you want to be? Are you, excuse me, thinking what is in the best interest for you and other people? And is this how you want to remember yourself? By being kind and loving, if that's what we're looking for, or kind and gentle. Could be that you make a difference in people's lives. You're problem solvers. Relationships important. Bringing your work is important to this world. Again, each one of us has a legacy and a destiny that every moment of our day, every moment of our life is moving us in that direction. All we do is get sidetracked by all of the minutiae, meaning all those thoughts, all those emotions, all that conditioning that basically causes us to forget who we really are. And the energy right now is, let's remember who you are. Let's live your life authentically. Let's live it purposefully. And let's live it with meaning so you can measure yourself and your contribution to yourself and to others every single moment, even though you may not be consciously aware of it. So that's more of the energy of what's going on. Let's go ahead and go to Juanita from Ohio, line two. Hi, sweetie.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, Carol. I had a question because I have, well, not that I have. I think that I'm having something to do with my liver a little bit because I feel that I'm estrogen dominant. Mm-hmm. Because of I have these like little red, they look like little red freckles, but they're like filled with blood. And I was told by it was an alternative practitioner that was indication of estrogen dominant. Mm-hmm. And that actually has to do with the liver. And years ago, I had taken a prescription medicine, Accutane. Mm-hmm. And I know that had affected my liver because after taking that, I developed chronic fatigue syndrome.
Correct.
And, well, it was the health challenge that I had to deal with. And I feel that most of that is gone, but there's still something not quite right, I feel, intuitively, but I'm not quite sure what to do with it and how to detox. Because I know you need really good elimination if you're going to do a detox, and sometimes that's not the case with me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, when it gets to that place where there's a difficulty for the elimination, the liver is the waste management plant of the entire human body. And what occurs is it's that waste builds up and causes the liver to have more difficulty doing its job. Now, going in, a couple of things. I want to talk to your brain about this. The liver is the most exquisite organ in the body. I know that may sound strange because people think it's the heart because it keeps us going. But the reality of it is the liver has so many different functions that it has to deal with, and it does it very exquisitely until it gets to a place where it gets sluggish, and then it's not able to do really any of its things that it's designed to do, and there's actually 13 different functions associated with the liver. And one of those has to do with red blood cell. It has to do with the red blood cell count. It has to do also with the formation of the platelets itself, the formation of the cells themselves. And when the liver becomes sluggish, what it can do is it can impact both the quantity and the quality of the red blood cells counts. That can lead to a form of anemia that isn't really what we call clinical anemia, but it can be a precursor for that chronic fatigue process to basically kick into gear. So again, validating, because your brain is trying to connect the dots, by the way, sweetie. You may know on some level, but your brain's still trying to figure out this problem, figure out how can chronic fatigue be liver and so forth with it. The medication itself, honest to goodness, when I go in and kind of poke around at your liver and everything, your body has detoxed that. It did do some alterations in the actual tissue of the liver itself, but your liver is adjusted, it's acclimated. It really doesn't seem to me, as I'm touching it, even with what I'm picking up energetically and can then letting myself go in and see it more, I'm really not seeing that this is still a problem that you're working with. So I need to say that to the brain, because again, the brain is fixating that what you're dealing with is something that you did and it's still impacting it. I don't believe that that's the case, quite honestly.
Okay.
So now the other thing is that anytime we have anything inside of us, whether it's a bacterial infection or a virus, it can be a candida overgrowth, a yeast overgrowth, anything that happens in the chemistry of the body that throws the body off, the liver, of course, has to detox, but the liver and the skin are bosom buddies. What's going on in the liver can always be seen in the skin. So when you're having these red bumps come forward, these little red bumps that have a blood part of it, is what it is saying, it's estrogen dominant, but it's different with you, sweetie. It's tied to stress.
Oh, okay.
And what it is the estrogen dominant that I'm picking up that your liver is still working with and does continue to work with, is that you create a corticosteroid, we all do, that clones itself as estrogen, and your body is actually reading it as estrogen when it isn't.
Oh.
And so it's putting stress on the liver, and as a result, the liver's doing what it's trying to do. If it can't eliminate through the stool the way that it's designed, it's going to come out through the skin itself. So I share that to help your brain recognize the connection there, and also to recognize that your skin is the story of what's going on in the physiology of the body, specifically the liver.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to shift gears. The liver in my world as a medical intuitive is basically four, anatomically four lobes. We hold four different very strong emotions in the liver itself. And it's not so much we store the emotion as we do the memory and the emotional charge. And the outer part of the liver, the largest part of the liver to the right side of the body, in the upper part we store anger, in the lower part we store guilt. As we move to the liver, to the thinner part toward the navel, we hold shame, we hold resentment at the top and shame at the bottom. Anger and guilt is triggered by something outside of us. When we perceive that somehow what's happening outside that triggered anger is somehow our fault, then we start going in and now we start internalizing it. And we start getting resentful. And where you are, and it's a very logical place to be, your body, from your standpoint, with the things that you've done, the fact you're off your medication, should be getting back to where it is, and it isn't. So what you do is your brain is saying, well, then fix it. Fix it. Why can't you fix it? What's wrong with you? And that actually comes in, and it triggers the shame part of us, like, you know what? I'm the spiritual being. I should be able to do this. I can't do this. Why is this? What's going on? And it just continues the cycle. Can you see that?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Also I have thyroid, and I don't think the thyroid should be treated medically, because I feel that it's the stress thing is what I was getting intuitively last year. And so I had stopped the thyroid to do that, and I don't feel any difference, because I didn't feel any different taking the thyroid medicine.
That's accurate. The thyroid overall is low. It's not off the scale, but it's low.
Okay.
But the functioning of your thyroid has been low for the last 10 years, sweetie.
Okay.
The chronic fatigue aspect, I'm going to say that fatigue aspect, I want to get away from the labeling, quite honestly, with you, because I don't want your brain to start fixating on it. That fatigue aspect tied to metabolism that causes it to become sluggish, which then changes the activities of the cells and the byproduct, has always been low. So your body has adjusted to it. It's just that on top of everything else that you had, the liver, just think of it as a waste management plant that just basically got overwhelmed.
Okay.
And what you're doing is you're going through and you're working to basically take away being overwhelmed. So from the standpoint of validating you with the thyroid, absolutely. The direction that you're taking feels like it's very normal, even though it isn't necessarily normal from the standards of how you would like to feel or what others say. It does feel like you've just been hypo for quite a while. So having said all of that, then one of the things that I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to look at flushing the liver out. But one of the things, what I mean by that is I really don't mean by going through a liver cleanse. For some reason, I'm getting this hit every time I touch it from different directions that what this would do is it would basically come in and it would just hit your liver like a mallet and it wouldn't serve you well. And so what you might want to do is look at the foods that you eat that can help purify, detoxify. For some reason, I'm picking up aloe, juice, something, water, something that would help cool the gut, things like that may be able to help. You do feel like you have some iron deficiency. You might want to look at things that you could take naturally. I keep picking up vibration with you. You might want to look at flower essence. You might want to look at a lot of crystal healing and what part of the kind of that physical part that would be tied to a crystal that could be able to be put over the liver that could vibrationally help it. So there are some things that you can do without going through a real strong detoxification process. Now, in 2 or 3 weeks, it may be okay because your liver isn't broken. It's just where it is right now. It's just overwhelmed.
Okay.
Go ahead, sweet.
Also, because I keep it loose in my hair. That's all stress-related, basically.
Yes, that's tied to the hypo part of the thyroid, and it's tied to the inflammation that's in your body because the hair itself, it isn't unusual with hypo, even if it isn't off the scale and people aren't on medication, that it can increase the shedding process. The thing that we want to do with the liver is we want to get the liver back into balance. So then in this shedding that's going on, that it doesn't turn into alopecia, which it does have the energy associated with it, which is an inflammation of the hair follicles, which is also tied to the liver. So I want to give you a visual, sweet.
Okay.
What you have going on in your physical body is from the crown of your head, the 7th chakra, mm-hmm. to the 3rd chakra of the right side, to the 3rd chakra of the left side, and back to the crown. Anything within that area physically, you're going to have to be mindful of and being able to give it what it needs, the rest, the sleep, the foods that can serve it well, the detoxification, meaning the breathing and so forth. So see in that triangle the areas of the body, the physical body, that you could work on and start working on it. The other thing is, you've got something inside of you that needs to be said. It needs to be said either in a blog, it needs to be said in a book. You've got something important that others are waiting to hear, and that can help release a lot of the congestion in the thyroid. It can take a lot of the pressure off the liver. You will stop feeling guilty because you're not doing what you need to do because your body's in the way. It'll just change the dynamics. Then your self-talk won't be as negative. Your immune system will become supported energetically, and then your body will start to function the way that it's designed.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's the hard thing, is saying what I feel like I restrain myself. I feel like I've gotten better over the years.
You have, honey.
And so in terms of being able to speak up, but hearing that again, that just, you know,
yeah. Well, let's change the dynamics, honey. Let's change it from having to speak up, meaning that I've got to put you on a stage in front of 3,000 people. Let's throw that one out.
Okay.
But find a way to bring forward who you are and what you know, because you do take the complex and make it simple. And how can you best do that with doing it in a way that allows the freedom of expression without having to put you in a place that's going to terrorize you? And that's one of the values of a blog. That's one of the values of Facebook and chatting with Facebook friends and asking questions and things. We have so many different ways to allow ourselves to be heard, to bring this forward in a way that it would be of great value. And it will be of great value to your physical body, sweetie.
Okay.
So you might think in those terms. So detox, let's be a little bit sensitive about that and sensible about that. And I probably wouldn't do anything that was a detoxing other than just natural things that you can do, the food, the water, the so forth, that you can do to help yourself. And then why don't you revisit it in about 3 weeks and see where you are in your energy level, and that may help you as well.
Also, has it affected me, because just in the last 3 months, I was a vegan for like 5 years, and mm-hmm. I stopped that and started eating chicken and turkey again, but not red meat, because
right.
that's what I need that. I know I need that at this point.
Right.
And I was just wondering, is that, because I eat as green as I can and organic and everything.
Right.
And so I don't eat anything that is already, you know, got stuff in, that has hormones or chemicals in it. And I was wondering if that has an effect, that's the right way to still go at this point.
Absolutely it is. You do need to have the protein. Your brain needs to have the protein, the omega-3. It's got to have the amino acids. That is a good way to go. That's not really creating that buildup as you're feeling it intuitively in the liver itself. It's a combination of things. So the most important thing is to go in and get in touch with your body, ask it where is it, what is it hungry for, and then feed it accordingly, because it will tell you that. But I would let go of any concern around that, because your body does need it. And then in red meat, you do either need to get the red meat or the B12, B3, B6. Well, actually, it's B1, B3, B6, B12 are the things that you're slightly deficient of. And those things are all can become through meats or fruits and vegetables. Meat, of course, is acidic, though. But you're on the right track. I would stay with that part of it.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, sweetie. I really,
so
really do appreciate it.
And I just wanted to say your kindness of when you speak with your callers is greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you. My gosh, you know, all of you must know that I need a boost today. So thank you for that, my love. I really appreciate it. Kind of like God, I was talking about legacy. I haven't been quite as kind to myself, maybe. Thanks for the reminder. All right, sweet. You're on the right track.
Thank you very much.
You are most welcome. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to Christine from New York. Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm okay. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, my God. You're in a dilemma, aren't you, honey?
I am. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I've been trying to get on this career path, and I lost my job 3 weeks ago, and I got in a car accident the same week, and I'm just wondering, I don't know, I'm thinking about, I guess I'm just kind of scared and thinking about switching career paths, and just for logic point of view and maybe to get a pension, I don't know. I know,
yeah.
I sound all over the place. I'm sorry.
No, and actually, that's part of the dilemma. And the good news of that is, honestly, is you're all over the place. Because the reality of it is, if you didn't have the accident, and as crazy as it sounds, you would have gone right back into the field that you were in. You would have been like this little crazy person running out there just trying to get another job. Well, this isn't, you're not at a place in your life, sweetie. It's about another job. And so, I mean, as strange as it sounds, and my gosh, we'd like for it to not have to be in an accident with it, is that it just really stopped you in your tracks. You are literally at that proverbial fork in the road. You can either go the way that you've been going and probably earn a living, but not earn a living at what you love doing, or you can step back, get confused, and then explore everything and look at things so differently. So in many ways, I really do think that overall, this is a very positive place to be, while it may not seem like it. And the other reason I say that is you're not motivated by money. You're not motivated by survival. You're motivated by making a difference. There's a huge difference there energetically, isn't there?
Yes. And I feel like I'm starting to go to the other side.
You are. You
yeah,
are going.
I'm broke.
Well, and the thing is that the gift of being broke is that it causes us to go in and touch ourselves deeply inside and say what is truly important to us. And I go back, I don't mean to put words in your head, but honey, you came on this earth to make a difference. You didn't come on this earth to survive. You didn't come on this earth to get lost in the fray, whatever that means. I'm not sure when your soul's talking to me, but you know, it's, you've got a uniqueness about you, and that uniqueness is wanting out. And the fact that you, again, the accident said, okay, you don't have a choice. You can't go out and do what you did. So here's what your soul is saying to me. Let's not look at this like I'm going to do career counseling. I could look at your personality and I could say, well, from a career standpoint or a job standpoint, this is what you should do. But when I listen to your soul, the soul says, let's look at this so differently. Let's go in. What are you good at? Look at what you're good at. And what do people tell you you're good at? That's where you start this whole process.
Okay.
And then what you do is when you listen to what you're good at from other people through their eyes, then you start to see it yourself. You feel like you need to have a little more training or education, the direction that you want to go. Is that true? Do you feel kind of like you're a neophyte in it, that you've got some information but maybe not what you need to do it?
I always feel that way. That's why I'm always in school. I just love learning. I love school.
Okay, now let's take that. You love learning. You love school. School is teaching. There's a mentor, that teacher. That's your archetype. You love learning. What makes it exciting for you to learn? Not that blah, blah, blah of a boring professor that we have, but the fact that you add excitement to it. You see things so differently. You see things completely. You see things holistically. And that makes it fun. You can tell stories when you're helping people learn. I mean, you've done this in the job that you had in being able to bring things forward. Those are the things that you're good at. So what does that mean? First of all, it means that you're a storyteller. Does that mean that you use the metaphor like Joseph Campbell did with a story behind the things? Are we talking metaphorically? Are we talking figuratively? Are you going to earn your living as a storyteller in a library? I mean, it just opens up, and it's kind of like taking, and then when you come in, it's like taking you and touching you as a fist, very constrained, and boom, all of a sudden I've got all these fingers coming out. And so in that part, a teacher, I mean, there's a lot of you that I pick up like you're like a Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz, very exquisite in the knowledge that he has. But what does he do? He tells a story. He tells people.
He's one of my, I really love what he does.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what I want to do. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is exactly what you want to do. So you know what? When you can't figure out what you want to do, you know, I'm going to push you to kind of a viewer of Dr. Oz. He's going to love me for that. I actually know him, so he's going to love me for that. But the reality of it is that's who you are. That's what you do. That's what makes you like to learn. The other part of it is you're a healer. And the dilemma is, where do you want to go with that? Do you want to go into the world that really feels like you're stepping into that unknown, or do you want to go into the world that you have knowledge base around? You also feel like you're quite skilled with a computer. Is that true?
Yeah.
So maybe you want to do some research. Maybe you want to do some of the things like I'm doing where you take illnesses and do a holistic pictures of them. Tell them the story of it. Tell them about all the different things. This is the area that you really could be very, very skilled at. Good news is that it does feel like you're going to work for someone else, but I'm not going to say for, you're going to work with someone else, because that person's going to bring to the table things that you just frankly just don't want to learn. You could, but you just don't want to. So I do see it as a dynamic duo. Once you allow yourself to think out of the box in this, look at it completely, then what you're going to do is you're going to be able to start attracting this person in your life. And it may be somebody that can help you with the setup of a website, somebody that could help you with some of the things, maybe someone that's going to say to you, have you thought about getting into the health field? What does that look like? Do you really have to become a doctor? No, you don't. Do you have to really become a psychotherapist? No, you don't. But there's things that you know. What does that look like? So that is the direction that you're headed, and the accident basically stopped you from going out and immediately getting a job, didn't it?
Sure did.
Because that's the way you would have gone, wasn't it, sweetie?
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Because what you want to do is, of course, you need to pay your bills. Absolutely, we all need to pay the bills. But you're not motivated, money motivated by paying bills. You're money motivated by making a difference in people's lives, and then they will reward you financially, and you will make so much more than you ever could working for someone.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
So when you get a little bit lost, watch Dr. Oz, because I'll tell you, your energy and his and the dynamics of him and who you are. I mean, honey, I can't even separate the two of you. You're like two peas in a pod.
Oh, that's really exciting to hear.
Yeah, very, very much so. Well, yes. Thanks. Well, gosh, you know, call me every so often on my show and let me know. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. It's always such a pleasure to share the Conversations with Carol show. This show will be available in my archives the end of this week. Light and love. I'll see you next week. No, actually, I won't. I'm going to do an encore, but have a wonderful week. Light and love to all of you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.